Welcome to Boozy Banter
with friends.
I'm Layla.
I'm Trisha.
I'm Diane.
Grab your favorite spirit and join us because shit's about to get real. Dog. Hello.
Hello. Cheers.
She was trying to figure out a good time to take her drink. She's like, whoa, oh, oh, oh.
Okay. Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
I'm great. Good. How you doing?
I'm good.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
Still good.
Still good.
After the third time. Anything new?
What's the news? Yes, you did something, Layla.
What did I do?
You flew out to the whole opposite end of the continental United States.
I did.
And?
I ran a race.
Oh, please. Not just a race.
It was the Ragnar Northwest Passage.
Yes.
Please, I did that.
Tell it where, like, where did
we
you start?
We started up in Blaine, which was right, I mean, as far to the Canadian border as you can get. There was a pillar, and it said United States on one side, and on the back side of the pillar was Canada. And the race announcer kept stressing, do not step foot into the trench because there's like a ditch. They will detain you.
Wow.
Yeah, we were right there.
There's actually photos on our Instagram, like the day after you ran.
Yeah,
we posted some on there. So check them out. And it's pretty cool.
200-ish mile relay race we had 12 people on our team, and it ended in Whidbey Island.
Oh, that's where God. I'm from.
I know.
Wow.
I
know. Such a small world,
right? The scenery was beautiful. I saw orca.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
I saw a baby orca. So that's one of the things that I was really, really hoping to see was orcas, because it is that time of year. And even though it was a little farther away than I would have cared for, I still knew what it was. I had the cold.
Oh my God.
You know, right. I had like the first documented a cold since 2019. It wasn't COVID because I was tested. It wasn't COVID. I was absolutely miserable.
Right. Yeah. I think that just shows your strength, though, to endure such a race under your physical conditions of trying to fight an
cold. Well, there was my estimated time of per mile, and my actual time per mile were a little different because I was sick.
But you finished it.
Oh, I wasn't giving up.
No, I mean,
there's no way I was quitting. I'm going to finish it.
Right.
Even if I have to like do the Hondo roll across the damn one of the hills, Hondo roll across the finish line. I still was going to do it.
I just think that's so amazing. That is so awesome.
I got a really cool, you know, Ragnar medal. I got lucky this time. My mileage wasn't really that. I think altogether I had maybe under 12 miles for the whole race.
Oh, is that all? That's so cool. I would love to do something like that.
You can.
Trisha?
No way.
Trisha?
No. Fucking way.
We convinced her to do a race
You can walk it.
Well, okay. I've done several 5Ks.
That's a good one.
Or 10Ks.
That's a good one.
For the bling.
The bling is?
The bling is my first race I ever did was with Layla. It was so bad because I didn't train for it. I just was like, okay, I'll do it. Didn't realize how fucking far 13.1 miles is.
It's far.
Layla did it in like 2 hours. So
that's back when I was a runner.
Right.
A real runner.
regardless, I mean, it. I think it took me four, and the whole time I had
it didn't
the,
take
like,
you that long.
It did take me that, and the bicycle guys were like the balloon ladies passed us. They're like, later, bitches. And they went on their way. And then, like, the bicycle guys are like, kept circling around. They're like, you can do it. But they're really just waiting for me to collapse on the pavement so they can scoop me up and stick me in the van that's also following me. At some point, Jody's like, there's a pregnant lady in front of you. Can you please just get past her? Please. I mean, it was miserable for me, but when I look back, I can only imagine how miserable it was for her, because my friend stayed with me the whole time. She did not leave my sorry ass behind. Nice. And she is a runner.
That's a good friend.
Me. Yes.
That is a good friend.
And she walked. Sometimes she would run a little ahead of me so she could go use the bathroom. And then I would still not be caught up by the time she was done. And she would just be patiently waiting. And so, yeah, I look at it as being a good friend to never run with her again.
Congratulations,
well,
Layla.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
It's a huge achievement.
All right. So who wants to start?
So go ahead, Layla.
Oh, well, guess what I'm having? Three guesses. You only need one, though. City Gates. I did it for you. This time I'm partaking in the City Gates maple whiskey.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And I'm also mixing it with a little bit of ginger ale. So it's like a ginger maple.
Yeah.
Nice.
Drink.
Yum, yum, yum.
Can never go wrong with City Gates.
No, I can't.
Right.
What about you, Trisha?
I am having their new grapefruit vodka with a little bit of Sprite.
Oh, nice.
It's tasty. It's a nice summer refreshing kind of drink. Diane.
Summery drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Summer.
Good pool
like
drink.
A little summer in your mouth.
Right.
Yeah, I'm having, I don't know if it's the official name, but it's what I call a Jamaica Mule. It's a mixture of the DC brand ginger beer, which is right out of Jamaica, mixed with a little bit of Rye and Nephew rum.
Oh, the Ova proof.
The Ova proof.
Oh, yes. If you remember our guest episode with Diane with two N's, she was drinking the Ova proof.
Right. Yes.
Rye and Nephew's rum.
Right. Yeah. Mrs. Central Florida.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
That's what I'm having.
Good stuff. I just like saying overproof like that,
though. I know.
I just think it's fun.
Overproof.
I like how she said it, though. She was like, yes, overproof. Yeah. She said it so effortless.
It's the only kind Jamaicans drink when it comes to rum.
All right. Well, today we're going to do something not so completely different. We're going to tell each other a story.
I like that.
That's my favorite.
I know. Me too.
I know.
Tell me a story, mommy.
Sorry. Ooh, that just went really off weird.
I know. I'm sorry. That's why I said I'm sorry. Tell me a story.
Daddy.
Oh, even weirder.
And we're moving on.
Yeah. Quickly.
So I'm going to tell you guys a story first, and I'm going to tell you about a little thing here in Florida.
Oh, Florida. You may have heard
Florida. It's a Florida. Yay. It's a homegrown Florida story.
I like those.
It's going to be called the Coral Castle. Oh. Have you guys heard of this?
I think
you've never heard of the Coral Castle.
Yes, I have.
I don't think so.
No, you've never heard of it?
Well, maybe as I hear it.
All right. Well, I'm going to butcher this man's name. So the Coral Castle was built by one man. His name is Edward Leedskalin.
Can you spell it?
Leedskalin. Yeah, there you go.
What she said.
Yeah.
Leedskalin. I'm going to say Leedskalin. And he built this from a 1923 to 1951 and single-handedly and secretly carved over 1,100 tons of coral rock. And his process is mostly unknown, but he created one of the world's most mysterious accomplishments. Mm-hmm. The Coral Castle is in South Florida, and it's open daily, and it's now like, you know, kind of museum. There is a massive 9-ton coral slab door at the entrance to the castle that is so perfectly engineered that it can be swung open with just the slightest push of your pinky finger.
Wow. Yeah.
The entire castle looks like a combination of a fortress and an ancient temple. Constructed of huge coral blocks, some of which exceeding 5 tons. So Ed built this castle and everything in it all by himself over 26 years using tools he made from scavenged junkyard parts.
Wow.
I know. He only worked after the sun went down, refusing to allow anyone to see how he shaped, moved, and placed these enormous blocks. And Ed, by himself, was not a big man either. They say he stood about 5 foot tall and weighed all of 110.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, 110 pounds. He was a little man. He was a wee little man. Hmm. No one knows why he built the castle. The official, there's two stories, official and, of course, the unofficial. The official story is that he was rejected by his young sweetheart.
Oh,
when his beloved Agnes Scuffs refused to marry him, he started building the castle as a tribute to her and the life they may have had together. So the unofficial story, as is told by Ed, is that the castle was built as a temple to the Egyptian gods, constructed using the same techniques as the ancient Egyptians used to build the pyramids.
I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that exactly, but I was going to say, I think he's like an alien. Because, you know, there's like, they always say like the pyramids were really built by
aliens.
Some alien technology because.
Yes.
How can they do that?
Right. So fast. I mean, we've all seen Ten Commandments, but I also feel like there's got to be something that it's just so massive. So yeah, I was going to say he's an alien.
Well, that's funny that you say that. But if you visit the castle, you can decide for yourself. Like if it's, you know, a tribute to his true love or if it's actually a tribute to the Egyptian gods. Mm-hmm. There are beds made out of this coral, a heart-shaped table, and rocking chairs. However, they are far less carefully crafted than the castle's shrines, shrines. They have like occult things and also planetary symbols and an observatory. One of the centerpieces of the complex is a 30-ton lensless telescope.
Wow.
That soars 25 feet above the castle walls.
So how did he get it up there?
No one knows. He didn't share.
Ancient aliens must have done an episode on this. I have to check
it out. I'm pretty sure because the stuff that he's done is pretty amazing. The telescope is perfectly aligned with the North Star. And on the first day of winter, sunlight pours directly through the scope's aperture.
Wow.
Like it's crazy like what this man did. He also created a sundial that is accurate within 2 minutes.
Wow. Oh.
Like how weird is that?
Yeah.
Like this is back in, you know, the 30s to the 50s. Like he did all this by himself at night.
That's crazy.
And he did it at night so no one would see the aliens helping him.
No one would see anything.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Across from the clock is a water pool carved out from a huge slab of coral with crescent moons on each side of the basin. The crescents represent the waxing and the waning of the lunar cycles, and the circular pool itself represents the full moon. In 1936 was the only time that Ed asked for help. And that was because he needed help to move the whole castle 10 miles up the road. So the castle was originally built in like Florida City.
Okay.
And then I guess the developers came in and started, you know, buying up land. So he moved it 10 miles down the road. Wow. He dismantled his entire castle and placed it and placed the blocks on makeshift flatbed truck chassis, which was then pulled to the new site by a tractor that he hired. The driver was never allowed to help or even watch Ed move the blocks. The driver would show up every morning to find the truck was already loaded with several tons of coral.
Wow.
Yeah. No one knows exactly how he built it. Ed died in 1951 of stomach cancer. Mm-hmm. Before he died, if anybody asked how he did it, he would simply say he understood the laws of weight and leverage well. He also stated that he had discovered the secrets of the pyramids. He did write a series of pamphlets on his experiments in magnetic forces and electricity, which can be found in the gift shop. So like copies of his pamphlets are for sale. One thing is for certain, for someone only having a fourth grade education.
Wow.
He was an outstanding engineer.
He was more than likely a genius.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that he was pretty much a genius. The castle has withstood the Hurricane Andrew and was completely unaffected by the storm.
Wow. While
much of the area of the surrounding area, of course, as we know about Hurricane Andrew, yes, was devastated. Recently, the most recent thing about the castle from what I read is that the huge gate became stuck open and a crew of workers struggled for almost 2 days to remove and reset the gate with a winch and crane. How crazy is that, that he managed to do all this by himself with just
tools? But they were having a hard time.
For 2 days.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to wrap your head around that.
Mm-hmm. Building the castle himself is not the only weird thing that takes place. As you can imagine, Trisha, it is said that the castle is a pit stop for UFOs.
I believe it.
And the throne is really a representation of the seats used by alien pilots to control their ships.
Well, you know, because they got their pyramids excavated, you know, with the modern times, they needed a new place to land.
Okay.
Aliens.
So not only do aliens are said to inhabit the place, there's a lot of weird stuff that's said to happen there. Ghosts are also said to be roaming the grounds. Some say that at night you could see by the tree lines fireballs. During the day, cameras would fritz out and sometimes people would catch a figure when there was none. The staff would also reports of shrieks and screams coming from certain spots in the castle. And the most recognizable phantoms is that of Ed. It is said that he could be seen before dawn, taking measurements and looking over his kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah. And you would think that would be enough.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Before the area around the castle became developed, it was said that the castle attracted a lot of wildlife. It said that panthers and alligators and all kinds of animals would flock to the castle before everything around it got developed. It's even said that the Florida skunk ape used to inhabit the area around the castle.
Skunk ape?
The Florida skunk ape, which is also known.
Do you want to elaborate what the skunk ape is for those listening?
It would be
Bigfoot.
It's the Florida version of Bigfoot. Yeah. Do you think that would be enough?
Yeah.
No, it's not. No. Some say the castle has strange elf-like creatures prowling the massive structures. On certain nights, people swear they hear the chattering of the fae around the castle grounds.
The fae.
Some visitors from Northern Europe would comment to the staff that there's a fairy infestation at the castle and even there's a fairy road.
Wow.
Shut up.
This is what some Northerners say from Europe.
They would know.
Yep. You want to know one fun fact that I found about the castle? Billy Idol wrote a song about the castle called Sweet 16 about Lidkishen and the castle. And the beginning of the music video is a picture of Ed standing in front of the Coral Castle.
Really?
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh my God.
That's the picture that's in the video of Billy Idol, Sweet 16. And if you listen to some of the lyrics, some of the lyrics are kind of about like the official story of why Ed built this castle. But there's said to be a lot of weirdness in there. It said people feel very energized when they're inside the castle because of all the supposed energies and energy lines in there. And most people himself, he had to have found a way to harness some kind of magnetic pull or energy to be able to move these huge slabs that weigh tons of coral and place them perfectly, seamlessly, almost, they said.
Right.
I've never been to the Coral Castle, but I've heard about it a while ago, and I always thought that'd be something kind of fun to go and see on how he did it.
I mean,
and then not only to build it, but then move it 10 miles up the road and by himself with only tools.
And where is this at?
Look, it's in South Florida. It's in Homestead.
So yeah, I had to Google and see some pictures of it to get an idea of, what you were talking about. And it's massive.
It's massive. And huge stones, those coral slabs. And, he's got.
How could he have done that
by himself? If you think of the time span that he has been working on at 26 years, that's a relatively short time to build something like this. For just one person. Really interesting, though. Really, really interesting.
It reminds me of the Puma Punka, which is in
Belize.
Yeah, Puma Punka. They have this massive concrete construction that is just like that, so meticulously built. And the age of it, archaeologists say it can be 10,000 years old.
Yeah, so weird.
How do you explain that?
Some of the things you could see, there's lots of pictures. If you just Google Coral Castle, there are a ton of pictures. And knowing that this one man did this all himself with just tools that he fashioned from a junkyard is just mind-blowing.
It really is.
Wow.
Mind-blowing, yeah. It's really interesting stuff. And all, the cryptids and the fae and the ghosts and the aliens, they're all said to be kind of attracted to the place. I wonder if that has something to do with all the energies.
I think so. I mean, how can
one man do it?
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of people's questions still to this day. He was obviously a genius to be able to figure out how to do this on his own.
Yeah, but to move it, how do you...
I think one of the things I said, he built a tripod out of a tree.
Wow.
He knew weight and leverage and energies. And one thing that I read, that he was sick when he was younger and he had cured himself through magnets.
Wow.
So obviously he was a very smart man for only having a legit fourth grade education, but able to, educate himself on all these other.
Questionably.
I mean, it says that there's, in that area of South Florida, aliens, supposed alien sightings all the time.
Wow.
It's like a pit stop.
That's cool. That
would be cool to visit.
Let's go by the Coral Castle.
Yeah,
I would be totally into visiting that.
I would like to visit the Coral Castle.
Oh.
I think that'd be a lot of fun just to kind of see and just go, holy crap, how did this guy actually do that? Because you see pictures, but standing there is obviously a completely different thing.
Right, yeah. Right. Good one.
Thank you.
I like that. Thanks. That's something I think we're going to have to road trip and check out. That's
I do too. Cool. Yeah.
Maggie agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She likes that idea.
Coral Castle.
Yep.
South Florida.
Hi, I'm Carol.
And I'm Holly. And we are the hosts of Fireside Phantoms.
On our podcast, we will delight in telling you stories of the strange, twisted, dark, and foreboding.
Creepy, crawly things slinking up your leg.
Ghostly hands reaching out from beyond the grave.
And we will ask hard-hitting questions like,
can Slender Man fit into my skinny jeans?
Who is Wrinkles the Clown? And how can he make your child's next birthday party special?
Why shouldn't we invite the black-eyed kids in?
What really is going on at your creepy neighbor's house? And is it okay to peek inside?
And many, many more.
So join us and our forest friends
as we gather around a warm and crackling campfire. This is Fireside Phantoms.
So I have just a short story to share today.
Share it.
And it's about the most famous dead guy.
What?
Yeah. So you remember a couple episodes back, I was so curious about the paranormal activities and stories in Ohio.
Right.
Because we have a lot of listeners from Ohio. And one of the stories that I found was about this most famous dead guy. And he is from Sabina, Ohio.
Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Ready.
Okay. So story is on June 9th, 1929, 91 years ago, the body of middle-aged black man was discovered in a ditch. It was along the Wilmington Pike in Sabina. It seemed that he had died of natural causes. The papers found this body led the police to a vacant lot in Cincinnati. So Cincinnati is only about an hour away from Sabina. Even more mysterious was the police talking to residents of the neighborhood, asking like, does anybody know him? We have this guy. Does he belong to you? And nobody knew of him. No one seemed to recognize him or remember the man once they were given a description. So he seemed to just kind of show up and nobody knew of him. And when the police came back to Sabina, they decided to give the body a name and they named him Eugene. And the reason why they went with the name of Eugene was he was named for the last person they spoke to in the Cincinnati neighborhood. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me, but that's what they decided to do.
Okay.
So Eugene was embalmed at that point, and he was put up at the Littleton Funeral Home. Literally put up. Like
displayed.
Displayed, yeah. Waiting to be claimed. This wait was much longer than expected. He was kept at the funeral home for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So somewhere along the line, someone thought it would be a good idea to give him a new suit, prop him up in the window, and maybe somebody would recognize him. But as the years went on, nobody recognized him. Nobody claimed him as a family member. So he became quite a dead character around Sabina.
What the what?
He literally became like a character. He was like a sideshow act. So he would sometimes be used as a Halloween prop.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And he would be put on people's front porches.
No.
Yeah, to scare trick-or-treaters.
Can I borrow Eugene for this Halloween season?
And sometimes local college students would take him for a drive or bring him to a frat party.
Weekend at Bernie's.
He was the original.
That's where they got the story.
That's where they got the movie from. Yeah,
probably.
That is just so disrespectful. There are just no other words. And the man was probably a transient from some other part of the country and was never going to be identified. And they were just using him as an excuse to have a prop.
Right.
Probably.
I'm disgusted.
100%. But his body was remarkably preserved. Although over the years, he began to like lose a finger here or there. But his serene composure never left his face. It is said that he always had a expression of like content on his face.
I mean, he was traveling. He got to travel in life and he was traveling in death.
I take that back. He wasn't used as a prop. He was used as an ad for this mortuary because they seem like they do some damn good services. I want to look like this in 30 years. Make it happen.
We're going to be in the ground. I don't care what I look like.
If somebody digs me up, I want to look pristine.
Right?
Just like Eugene.
I want to look content.
Right.
Yes.
Whoever did their job did it correctly, it sounds like.
No kidding. And in 1963, the Littleton Funeral Home decided it was time to lay Eugene to rest. Finally, right?
It's about damn time.
I know.
30 years.
And they buried him in Sabine's. He was known as the most famous dead guy of Sabine. So they did bury him in the Sabine Cemetery with a rather odd inscription on his marker. It simply said, found dead 1928. Although it was actually 1929, buried 1964.
That's it.
So
it should have also said was one of the coolest Halloween props ever at the life of the party.
Life of the party, yes.
You know, made his rounds to all the frat houses.
Jeez. Someone you could count on.
Someone you can lean upon.
Yes.
That's so wrong.
Never talked back.
Right?
And always looked damn serene.
He was always happy.
Yeah. Eugene.
He was displayed throughout the town of Sabine, Ohio for more than 36 years. I did extensive research to try to find more information. To me, with what we have nowadays, yes. There's a picture of Eugene.
Trisha just pulled up the picture of Eugene.
He doesn't look serene. He looks dead.
He's very content if you look at his face. I think with all the advances that we have in DNA testing, why hasn't anybody run his DNA?
Because he's already buried now. He was buried in 60-something.
Right. But we can 1964. But we can exhume or... I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have something. He belongs to somebody.
Eugene has been around enough. Let's leave him where he is.
I did find stories where some people said, you know, he was homeless and he showed up looking for work. And he had spoken to several townspeople asking for jobs and for work. And that's all they knew of him is that he'd shown up. So we don't know where he came from, but he belonged to somebody. And it just surprises me that with today's technology and DNA that they can't fucking run some DNA test to find out who he is and who he belongs to. There may have been a missing persons report.
Well, that was something.
Interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's kind of weird, right? For 36 years, you literally
That's weird.
I mean,
A dead guy. I'm going to prop him up in my window. Oh, you wanted to borrow him for a party? Sure, go ahead. Just bring him back tomorrow.
Don't expose him to direct sunlight.
Even if he was embalmed, he should still have started to deteriorate.
They said he lost a few fingers.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't kept in an environment unless being in the window like mummified his skin. Like his skin should have started to
break down.
Nope.
Yeah.
Whoever did that.
We're going to make a Eugene for your next Halloween party.
I did find he also has a Facebook page.
Shut the front door.
He does. Clearly, somebody set it up for him. And
clearly.
People have put like photos that they had taken, must have been before 64,
Of him in the window?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But, or comments of, I looked to see like if there had been any paranormal like hauntings of people saying, oh my God, you know, that's Eugene visiting me. I didn't find anything along those lines, but he has a Facebook page.
That's wow. Insane.
Yeah. The most famous dead guy in Sabine.
Wow. Has a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And people post on it.
Damn.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, all at right. least sounds like people are visiting his grave. That's
yeah,
that's good.
Something,
I guess.
All right, that's it. That's a good one.
That's good and weird.
That's weird.
Weird yeah. You at? Oh yes, my resource. Weird US.
Of course. Yes.
Of course.
It was.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Wow. Okay. So. All right. God, well, if you like that story, rate and comment. And so, you know, rate and comment. Give us a rating.
Yeah.
Give us a review.
Please.
On your favorite podcast platform. We would really appreciate that. Let us know what you think of the Eugene famous the dead guy. Story.
God, Eugene that, the mummy.
That or that story made me need to drink. I'm going so to too. Refill my glass.
I'm ready.
So, all right.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Anna.
Until next time.
Later.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, like what you hear?
Check us out on Instagram.
Or send us a message at boozybanterwithfriends.com.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time.
Later.